Greetings. You are listening live to the Scriptures Alone Bible School here on BBS Radio. The Scriptures Alone Bible School is a Bible teaching ministry where the Scriptures alone are all authority and are taught correctly by Martin Richling. Therefore, with King James Bibles open and believing hearts, hearken now unto the words of God.
Well, greetings indeed. It is January 31st, 2011. This is Martin Richling from the Scriptures Alone Bible School, and we are very thankful to be on BBS Radio, truly the number one worldwide live talk radio network. Isn't that great? Listen to some of their great sayings. Removing fear through communication. How about that? Real fear is removed through real communication. The key is, what are we communicating? Next, don't be afraid of the truth, but let's get into it, huh? Well, that's what we're going to do here on the Scriptures Alone Bible School. And this is one, probably my favorite. I thought the other one was my favorite, but I'm into this one now. If it's not mainstream, it's on BBS Radio. And I'll tell you what, you know, internet ministry has been such an enlightening experience to me. Never did it. Started doing it just back last November. And what a journey in such a short time. I have had never had so many problems, but I am so thankful to have landed. I felt like I've been pushed out of a plane and landed without a parachute, but at BBS Radio. And I'm so thankful for all the men there and all they've done for us. Okay, our website is thescripturesalonebibleschool.net. Again, it is thescripturesalonebibleschool.net. And let's go back to that. If it's not mainstream, it's on BBS Radio. Do you know why? Let me tell you something about this school. If you'll just hang in there with me through the next 4 years, Lord willing, and if the first couple of weeks were like this, good night, nurse. But hey, I can't stand to lose some weight. But if you can hang in there, you will see that what's being taught here at the Scriptures Alone Bible School is so far removed from mainstream so-called, what is called, Christianity. And what that tells me, and see, why is that? I mean, if you'll just have honest hearts, and just look at what the Bible says just by itself and compare that to what's being told unto you, the Bible says, you will see that some things are absolutely not right. So I do want to announce this. After all of the turmoil and the ups and downs and just, you know, I've always preached the ministry in person, and it has had its persecutions and tribulations and trials in person. But never in my life, and I was a policeman many years in Chicago, I thought it was a rough time being there. And in some of the most dangerous neighborhoods in the city of Chicago, at least there, I knew who the bad guy was. But no, I've come out here, and I can tell you, I am so happy to announce that the Scriptures Alone Bible School, you can only find it one place being taught now. I have done away with everything else and every other outlet of teaching, and I'm just simply, solely, and exclusively teaching on BBS Radio. And by hook or crook, the only time it's going to stop now is if they yank my tongue out. And then maybe we can do something like that. I can get someone else. I'll just write it out and get someone else to read it. And let me explain to you why. Why have I chosen BBS Radio? And I mean, this is a choice. Is it because of the number one worldwide live radio network? No, not necessarily. I am so thankful they are. But let me explain as we get into the school and sort of our grand reopening, like just like they do at a Walmart. You ever see all those Walmarts? They're reopened multiple times. That's just to get you in there and buy stuff. But look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. If you have a King James Bible, if not, sit back, relax. We're here to make the Bible real simple to you. And that's why I spend so much time reading it. Because I was tired of my first 30-plus years in life of not understanding it. And now I just want to, all the things of reading it through so many times, 150 plus times, I say that to boast on my Savior who gives me great strength to do it, and still reading through it once a month, I see some things. And my heart goes so out to folks who have been so deceived through no fault of theirs. Look at in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Watch this. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Why? For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Oh, look at this. I'm going to show you why that's so interesting that word's there. without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. Now, everybody, you listen up and you listen real good. Most of so-called Christianity, see, this is not describing people that don't care about the Bible. This passage here that the Apostle Paul writes is, now listen close, is describing so-called Bible teachers and preachers and professing Christians become this way. They become this way. And you know what? It summed it up. Look at verse 7. Well, verse 5 says, having a form of godliness. They're just professional church players. And verse 7, does this not sum it up? Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. If you walk into a so-called Christian bookstore today, there are 6 trillion, billion, quinzillion, 1 mo-million. Hey, a mo-million is one with 39 zeros after it. Books written about the Bible. Isn't that odd? Isn't it odd? I don't read books about the Bible. I read the Bible. So the reason why I have chosen BBS Radio is because my experience on the internet and meeting people on the internet with the so-called believers, not all of them now, not all of them. I have met some of the most sincere, true, faithful, truly loving the Word of God people in my life, but I've also met people who are simply disguised. They're professional church players. Look at this, and here, compare that passage with Matthew 7, Matthew chapter 7. This is why, because BBS Radio has been nothing but kind to me. Kind. I mean, think about this, how open and honest they are. You see their show categories? Look at all that. I had a guy say to me and send me the most nastiest email, and he was a professor at some Bible college. How dare you go on such a station like BBS Radio with all their occult and satanic things? You know what? Let me tell you what. You should have seen the email I wrote back to that weirdo. I'm telling you what, I have been only treated but kind, and it doesn't matter that maybe there's some things there that I disagree with. There's a thing called free will choice, and all I'm here to do is offer people something that maybe haven't had 5 years in federal prison to sit down and read the Bible over 100 times, okay? So I give them the choice. Pure truth, as it comes simply from the Word of God. So I thank everyone at BBS Radio for their genuine and sincere kindness. Matthew chapter 7, when it says here in Matthew 7, the Lord Jesus Christ, now watch this on the so-called Sermon on the Mount. Watch what he says about so-called believers. This is out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now watch this, that next word, many. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? The Lord Jesus Christ then answers them in verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So according to the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 7:22, many, that means most people who profess to be quote unquote Christians are not. That's what it says. And I can tell you, I have been battered and banted about by them more than anyone else who doesn't even know the Bible. And what a shame that is. So folks, we all need truth. So what is this? The Scriptures Alone Bible School, Lord willing, will be a 4-year school. It is going to teach the Bible every single verse. Now, we don't start at Genesis, and I'll show why and explain why later in tomorrow's program. But we start where God tells us to start. But it's going to, for the purpose to establish folks in the faith. If you want to know what the Bible truly says, as God is my witness, my heart only cares to teach what the Bible simply says. That is it. Nothing else. No more, no less. And allow you the absolute freedom to choose. So in today, on Mondays and Fridays, what we're going to be doing is called All Authority. And I am contemplating on Fridays in the future of perhaps having an interview show. There's several brethren who've expressed to be interviewed. I might do that on the last half of the show and maybe have call-in questions on the first. So if you're interested in something like that, do email me. Go to the website and you'll see my email address, okay? Now, that's what we're going to do on Mondays and Fridays so far. At least get some of that in you. We're starting today, all authority. And let me tell you, internet radio, I am learning, is hated so much by the adversary. What's his name? The devil, capital D, also called Satan. He used to be called Lucifer, if used for truth. You know what? I have been so beat up lately. It was easier in federal prison teaching the Bible. All right, so let's transition. Now, before we get going on all authority, here is the most important thing that I want everybody to understand as you're listening. The one thing I love about internet radio is it allows you the privacy of your own heart. It allows you what you need as before a creator who gives us all breath. Look, if it's 100 years from now, I would venture to say that anybody old enough to be listening to me right now will not be here. So you have free will. So there's an answer for death. There is. Many people out there have opinions, and I'm simply wanting to give what the scriptures say so you can freely choose. And that brings up the subject of free will. And it's going to dovetail right into our message tonight, all authority. Now, I got a mixture of people listening. I know of very few faithful brethren who are, some are wanting to be pastors and teachers and actually studying in the school. I have others who are very longing to be established in the faith. And I have just the curious who are just listening. And I have some, in fact, more enemies than you can probably imagine. So I'm teaching to that crowd. And the one thing nice about internet radio, sitting here in just my little den in this little house in Blank, Indiana. See why I said Blank? So far, so good. Okay. Now, let me show you something here about free will. Get Matthew chapter 26. This is so important for you to understand about free will and how much God values your free will. Too many times today, I'm telling you, preachers and teachers, they talk to people who don't know the Bible with such disparity and condemnation wrongly. Yes, the Bible talks about condemnation, but I am such a believer that if you will see how God presents the condemnation, you will see that he does that out of the greatest heart of love to win you over. He's simply trying to tell you, what's your problem? He's trying to offer you peace, joy, and happiness. Now, would we not all agree in every religion in the world upon death? Would you not like to be in a place, call it what you want, heaven, paradise, where there's just total, absolute, complete joy? Well, he values your free will. In the Garden of Eden, he valued free will so much that he started mankind in paradise. And he gave Adam and Eve the choice. And he told them, but don't take of this one tree that's in the midst of the garden. And they did. He valued free will so much that when Eve was in dialogue with Satan, he didn't even interrupt her. He did not even interrupt her. He knew that her choice to disobey his commandment would plunge the entire creation into corruption and sin and despair and agony. You know the amazing thing about reading the Bible? Let me just explain that with creation. Prior to my reading the Bible, I used to be an avid hunter. And don't get me wrong, I still would eat food because I need to eat. Well, if you ask my wife, she'll tell you I don't. I need to eat a lot less, she'll tell you. And she's right. But anyways, when it comes to, I used to watch on those, remember anyone who's old enough to remember Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom? They used to show like how the lion would tear apart the gazelle. And I used to look and I would listen to the guy talking and say, well, that's just nature. And I used to think, yeah, that is. And I accepted that. But you know what? After reading the Bible told me that that is because of the sin curse that's happened. I mean, good for the lion, right? Bad for the gazelle. Tell that to the gazelle. Well, it's just nature. Hang in there, buddy. So all of that happens because every animal was designed to eat grass. But because of us, they suffer too the curse of sin. Matthew chapter 26, I'm going to show you the most amazing passage to me regarding free will. I am going to show you that the Lord Jesus Christ himself could have chosen not to go to the cross and be crucified. He could have chosen that. God valued free will so much, and that horrible crucifixion he was facing of both physical death and spiritual death, he could have chosen not to go. Matthew chapter 26, look at verse 47. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, look at this, friend. Jesus Christ was just betrayed by Judas Iscariot by a kiss. That's why Proverbs says the kisses of an enemy are deceitful, okay? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. So Jesus Christ says, friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Now watch this. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou, this is what I want you to see, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? You know, the Lord Jesus Christ could have prayed to his Father, and his Father could have sent him more than 12 legions of angels. Now, look, I'm no graduate of no Bible college. That's why I know the Bible, but because I read it. But anyways, I don't know how many's in a legion, but I can show you that one angel in the Old Testament one day killed over 170,000 people in one night. Just one angel. So to get more than 12 legions, and a legion is many, that I know from the Bible definition of legion, he could have destroyed the entire earth. But look at what he says in verse 54. But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? The Lord Jesus Christ's love for the Bible, his love for the scriptures that his Father gave him to fulfill, caused him to freely choose to go to Calvary. God Almighty did not interfere with his Son's, his own Son's free will. So you remember that, okay? Now, let's begin. This is going to be a wonderful study. You will see that even though it's a four-year school, in the very beginning, joy can happen. It's not like what we're used to going to school. You know, I remember my first day at high school in Chicago. I went to Lane Tech High School. That high school is huge. I was so afraid to go there. It was gigantic. That was a miserable day. But it's not like that. So I want everybody to start off in school happy. And the way you can do that, if you'll go to our website, thescripturesalonebibleschool.net, on the second button from the top, you will see a page called Salvation. At the very bottom, there's an audio message that I simply made myself sitting at my desk in my basement. Just me. There's no big production studio, just me. And that trucks me. It took everything I knew to try to even put it on there. I don't even know this stuff on the web. I'm learning it as I go. But that was so I could teach you what you need to understand regarding what's going to happen to you when you die. Okay? And at least listen from the perspective of, you know, let me give it a shot. This man is at least asking me to. And in fact, I'm begging you to do that. On behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ, I beseech you to be reconciled to God, 2 Corinthians says. I'm begging you. So that you can have your eternity taken care of. Because again, as I say, in that movie Braveheart, when they said, every man dies, but not every man lives. That is a very biblical saying. Did you know most of the sayings on BBS Radio, the ones I quoted in the beginning, have biblical truth behind them? Proverbs, I can show you right out of Proverbs. So this study, what we're going to begin today, is called All Authority. Now, don't recoil here. Don't sit there and say, authority, I don't want no authority over me. Just like it ends in the book of Judges, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. No, 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 no. I'm simply going to show you what the Bible says regarding all authority, and then I'm going to allow your free will to function. We're going to go through every verse from Genesis to Revelation that has to do with the Bible itself. I mean, think about it. What is the Bible? I mean, the Bible is a book that has its own testimony regarding itself within its pages. So if you would just be very patient and listen with an open heart, I will show you what the Bible says about itself, and I will never interfere with your free will. You will have the choice to believe or not believe, okay? But at least when you learn all the verses in the Bible regarding itself, you will then be making a wise choice. Say you reject it. Say, I don't want to believe the Bible is what it says to be. That's okay. At least you should reject it based on a thorough examination of it. Or if you choose to believe it, and that would be a wise choice, you could say, I choose to believe the Bible based on the evidence of its own self, within its own pages of what it says about itself. So this study, All Authority, is a study in the Holy Scriptures, Genesis to Revelation, just picking out the verses that have to do with the Bible itself, and we'll teach that Monday and Fridays, okay? Maybe on Fridays we'll do something different, but you'll be getting that as the school goes along, and then Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, you will be getting Romans. We're starting Romans verse by verse, and we'll explain tomorrow why we're starting there, but we're going to start learning the Bible verse by verse, but we'll start in Romans, and for very specific biblical reasons, okay? All right, go to John chapter 17. If my voice sounds a little raspy, praise the Lord that I have been sick as a dog sitting here right now with 102 point something temperature and coughing all day and just trusting the Lord to get me through this. It's amazing because it just went away before I started. Just when I was asked, Lord, because I was coughing my head off, couldn't even talk without coughing. And look at this now. He does indeed strengthen us. John chapter 17, I'm sorry, John 17. This is the text that we're going to use through this entire study. When the Lord Jesus Christ was in the Garden of Eden, okay? Now, again, I do encourage you, if you cannot listen live or you know friends who can't listen live, go to the archives on BBS Radio. And that reminds me, I had another person email me and say, well, those archives cost money. What do you think those men at BBS Radio are doing? Do you think they all won Powerball? Do you think they're all out there and just doing this out of the kindness of their heart? They have kind hearts. Yes, they do. But you know what? The workman's worthy of his labor. That's what the Bible says. So they work very hard, very professionally, and it's a very laid-back, cool atmosphere of every time I've dealt with them. So when you purchase the archives for the whopping, if you got it for the year, you'd pay a whopping $4.99 a month. Know this, that you're getting priceless treasures. Not just this, but at least you can access the school, and they have a whole bunch of other stuff. If you don't believe the Bible, you can access them. But I don't want to hear this, that for the price of $5, it's too much for people to pay a month. You know what? You eat more than that in one sitting at McDonald's. Tell the truth now. John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Look at verse 17. When the Lord Jesus Christ was in the garden praying to his Father, just before he was crucified, he said, "Sanctify them through thy truth." Now, this is what the Lord Jesus Christ said about the Bible. Thy word is truth. Now, according to the Lord Jesus Christ, God's word to him was truth. Okay? Excuse me. According to him, his word was truth. So the Lord Jesus Christ believed that. So, you know, just look at his life. He was so perfect. All he ever did is teach for 3 years and go around and heal all these sick people. And he fed thousands with very little food, if the Bible's true, and it is. And he did all this, and they crucified him. He never did anything wrong. He never broke any Roman laws or any Jewish laws or anything like that. And yet two false witnesses came forward and condemned him to death. And he says in the garden just before his crucifixion, "Thy word is truth." So that is the text that we are going to use. Now, go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, look at verse 34. John chapter 10, verse 34. Watch the Bible give now the definition of Scripture. You see, we're not going to use the dictionary. We are going to use the Bible itself to define words. And if this is a study of the Holy Scriptures themselves, what we will do then is get the Bible definition of what Scripture is. Okay, not my opinion. I don't have any opinions. I'm simply going to show you what the Bible says, okay? John chapter 10, look at verse 34. If you don't have a Bible, it's good. It's okay. Just listen. John 10, 34 in a King James Bible. Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods?" If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. There's several clues in those two verses to identify and define what scripture is. In verse 34, the Lord himself says it's written in your law. He then says it's the word of God, and then he calls it the scripture. So the scripture, the definition of scripture, the holy scriptures, is the written word of God. Now that is how the Bible defines it. So again, I ask you, free will choice. You have the choice to believe that or not. Now, as we do that, and as we go forward now, go to 1 Corinthians 2 or just listen up. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm going to show you my motive in teaching. And this will always be, it always has been. This was the actual last passage when I left federal prison that I taught the men. And you know what? Here's a funny story. When I was in federal prison, if you were a model inmate, which I was, you can get early release. Well, they offered me early release because of all my good time I had built up, and I turned it down because I had just started a study with some new men who had come into the prison, and they were very interested. And so here I am in Duluth, Minnesota, could have got out 6 months early. And I said, no, forget it. I'll just stay, because if I had left, I wasn't sure if I'd ever see these men again, because I can't communicate with them in prison, being a former prisoner myself. So I couldn't write to them, and, you know, it's not like I could send them CDs or anything, or back in those days, I think it was cassettes. That's how long ago it was. But I couldn't do that. So I turned it down, and I stayed. And this passage right here was the last thing I taught after 5 years in federal prison to all the men. There wasn't a dry eye in the bunch, including mine, because you know why? They believed it. Anyone, if you'll just have an honest heart and listen long enough, you will see that my motive for teaching you is just simply to show you what the Bible says. I have no other motive, even though sometimes falsely accused. I have none. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse 4 with me, or just listen up. "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom." Okay, I sure don't have a lot of enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. I am simply going to demonstrate via the internet radio here on BBS what God the Holy Spirit says about things and his power. And here's the purpose and intent in verse 5. "That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." The power of God is his book. Now, this is why I don't want you to place your faith in the wisdom of men when it comes to eternal things. Let me explain why. Now, if I have to go to the doctor because I'm getting so ill, the Lord himself said, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. So I will put my confidence in the wisdom of men when it comes to the medical field. See how common sense that is? The Lord himself said to do that. Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, was a physician. Paul calls him the beloved physician. Okay? So I will put my trust in the wisdom of men when it comes to some earthly things. I drive a car to work, and I trust the wisdom of men when I hit the brakes to stop it. But when it comes to the eternal, when it comes to the hereafter, which is forever, you got to admit that. When you die, it seems like it's pretty permanent. I don't see Abe Lincoln walking around or George Washington. So it seems pretty permanent. It's like they never come back and tell us. So that is critical, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Okay? So let's try it that way. All right? Now, look at two passages with me. We're studying now all authority. Now, the reason why I've entitled this subject All Authority, because it's not like in the courts in this world, to where, you know, you have lower courts and you have district courts and then, you know, regional courts or what are they called, I guess, at the federal level? They certain types where they cover many states. The name escapes me. But then they also – it goes all the way up to the Supreme Court, okay? I'm not talking final authority. Many brethren who try to stand up for the King James Bible, they say, I'm going to talk to you about final authority. No, that's not true. See, they're telling you something that's not true. It's not final authority as if there's competing authorities leading up to it. According to the Bible itself, God uses the terms all authority. That's the two words we will see in this study that God chooses to use. It's in the book of Esther and in the book of Titus. We'll see it when we get there. But that's why I entitled the series All Authority. Now, let's talk about authority. Some folks don't like authority now, do they? You know, when I was a policeman, I would be sitting there working radar before I got on the canine unit, and I would pull people over for speeding or whatever. When I'd be walking up that car, I really was never greeted. Like, hey, how you doing, officer? Oh, thanks so much for pulling me over. Funny story on that. One of the funniest comments I ever heard from a man. He was driving like such a dork. I was right behind him. I mean, a marked squad car. And he's driving all over the place. You can see he's reaching for things. He's going up on the curb. He's going everywhere. So I pull him over. And I was really angry. It wasn't really endangering anybody. He was just driving like a dork. And so I went to him. He said, hey, sir, why are you driving like such a dork? You know what he said? Because I am a dork. I couldn't stop laughing. So I walked back to the squad car. I didn't even give him a ticket. That was probably the most honest answer I ever heard as a policeman. So it did teach me some things that our personality is reflected in our driving. But anyways, when you look at these things and you see as we go through life when it comes to authority, no one really liked the police unless you were becoming a victim. Most of the time the police showed up, we didn't like it, you know. In fact, on my way home here today, I said, I'm hurrying up home. I was very ill and it was hard. And I said, I hope I get it. So I piled all this cough medicine in me and all this stuff so I would stop coughing before the broadcast. And see, that's what the Lord says. Now, see, it's not like the Lord's just going to take it away. He's going to expect you to use the things and the wisdom of men in that cough medicine. See, the Bible is very common sense here. Now, that's what the Bible says to do. All right. So I went right past the policeman sitting there, and I was like, oh, my gosh. But I wasn't speeding. But you get that adrenaline rush because it's authority. All right, but let me explain something about authority. Let me ask you a question. If you had bad authority over you, in other words, a tyrant, look at some of these third world countries, how their rulers just rob these people and treat them like garbage and rape their women and kill their farmers and all the things. And sometimes they do it in cultured countries through other things they do to rob us. We won't get into that. That's a whole nother show. But anyways, when you see these things regarding authority, when the tyrant over you or the authority over you is tyrannical, it's bad, okay? But if you had authority over you, the authority here is the word of God. Now think about what we're talking here, all authority. This Bible talks about a God in heaven that sent his son to be brutalized and crucified because of his love for the world. Now, that's the book I'm telling you. The Bible to me, after reading it so many times and I continue to read it, is the greatest love story ever written. Because when I was just an enemy of God, a sinner and not caring anything at all about what he said and just living however, he loved me and sent his son. Does anyone out there know that someone has given up their son for you? Now, sometimes they give up for a good person. Okay? Sometimes we've seen many times people give their own kidneys and transplants. They help people, other people, because of their love for them. But that's because they love those people. Maybe they don't even love them. But at least they're doing it because they care for them. God loved us when we were his enemies, not caring at all about him. So I'm telling you, this book is the greatest love story in the history of the world. Okay? So when you look at it as all authority, it's not that God is some tyrant. No, he is just now, and we have broken his laws. And he does say we're condemned, but he offers you an answer. Okay? So let's just face the truth together and get this taken care of. Now, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and let's get 1 Peter chapter 1. So as we look at this subject of all authority, here's a question I have we're going to start it off with, and we'll just get into the introduction. By then, the time should be up. In 2 Peter chapter 2, okay, I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul writes an amazing passage of Scripture when you compare it to 1 Peter chapter 1. So if you have a Bible, that's where we're going. 1 Peter 1 and 2 Corinthians chapter 2. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul writes during his lifetime, okay, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse 17. He writes, "But for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ." The Apostle Paul said during his lifetime, many people were corrupting the word of God, corrupting it. Now, that's not so amazing until you look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, look what Peter says in 1 Peter 1 and compare what Paul just said with this. 1 Peter 1, look at verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by what? The word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. According to Peter, the word of God, which lives and abides forever, is incorruptible. So here's the question. How do you take something that, according to the Bible itself, is incorruptible and corrupt it? How does one corrupt something that's incorruptible? How do you do that? Well, let's take a look. Think about it for a second. Now, the only way that I can corrupt something, if it's truly incorruptible, it will never corrupt. And that's true about the Bible. It is. It's incorruptible. Okay? So if it is incorruptible, the only way I can corrupt that is this. I'm going to create, and this is what Satan does, I'm going to create a bunch of counterfeit Bibles and then allow man to choose. And I'm going to try, this is the devil's plan, mind you. I'll show it. That's what we're going to see. That I'm going to show you that Satan, the only way, he's smart. He's very smart. He has had over 6,000 years of dealing with mankind and tricking us. So what he does, he says, you know what? Satan knows the real word of God is incorruptible, and God does have his word in different languages on the earth through various times in human history. So I'm only talking in the English language. In the English language, there are many, many different versions. So what we're going to see is, what does God say about the Bible itself? And we're going to see all the qualities that God gives us. We're going to see that God says it's perfect, it's pure, and how it came about, and how he preserved it, and how he translated it. We're going to see all these things. And then you're going to take that teachings, and we're going to, at the very end of this little study here of all authority, we're then simply going to compare some English versions out there and see if they pass the test. Because you need the Word of God. If you're searching for truth, you need it. Now, go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 11, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. All right, I'm going to look at these two passages with you. It goes back to what we said in the beginning regarding faith. Okay? Hebrews 11, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Hebrews 11, 6. God says this regarding faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. You see that? God demands that when he says something in his Bible, you have to believe it. And if you don't have faith in what the Bible says, you will never please God. It's impossible. That's what the Bible says. So what is faith? Now, this is where it gets really cool. Watch what faith is in Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Your faith is only as good as what you place it in. Now, where do you think faith, in other words, it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If I place my faith, it's the substance of things hoped for. In other words, it's not the quality of your faith. Your faith is determined as far as good or bad by what you're placing it in. Think about us in the human relationship realm. How many times have we trusted people only to be disappointed and horribly let down? Well, that's life, isn't it? Well, you know what? I can tell you this. Never one time has the Bible let me down. Never one time, whether it was now, right now, whether it was in federal prison, whether it was in the most horrible times of my life, or any, it never lets me down. Never. God Almighty never will. Okay, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. And this is why. In Hebrews 11:6, when it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Do you see why I have a school? It isn't good enough to just hear a passing sermon every now and then fill your mind with all the wisdom of the world. You need to diligently seek him. Be a diligent student. Be an attentive student. And as you diligently listen and learn, you will see more and more how wonderful this great book is. So remember this, it's impossible to please him if you don't have any faith. Why? For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Must believe that he is what? God. You know, if the Bible's true in the first verse, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Let me tell you what, and it is true. Guess what? He's a lot more powerful than me. He spoke it into existence, the Bible says. Now, you don't have to believe that, but I do. And if it's true, and it is, that's amazing. So if you compare that with 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, here's a bunch of people just like you and me. Normal people, they lived in a town called Thessalonica. And the Apostle Paul showed up there to teach them the Bible. And they were very young believers. In fact, they didn't know anything. They were very young. And they didn't know a lot. They didn't have any Bible upbringing. They were just a bunch of Gentiles. They weren't Jewish folks. They were just Gentiles. And in 1 Thessalonians 2, the Apostle Paul writes in verse 13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing." Because, what would cause Paul, the apostle, to thank God without ceasing? "Because when you received the word of God which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God." Look at this now. "Which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Do you want the Bible to have a real effect in your life? How many times have you opened the Bible and it's just a dead book? It sits there. I know what you've done because I've done it. You pick it up and you figure, well, my life's kind of screwed up. I'm going to start reading it or at least investigate it. So you start in Genesis and you go a little bit and you understand some things, but then as you go along, it just fades away. You don't understand it. Or maybe you'll start in the New Testament, Matthew. You'll read it and some of the stories you seem to understand and the parables, some of them maybe, but then it just becomes this dead, lifeless book. Do you know why? Because you got to be like the Thessalonians. If you'll believe it to be the word of God and not the word of men, it'll have an effect on your life. Just try it. Look, I'm not asking you here to, like, you know, invest in some goofy business deal that's going to collapse for sure. I'm simply asking you to make a choice of faith in your mind. Why don't we approach this study of all authority from this perspective, that the Bible is indeed the Word of God? Let's just try it. Okay, and then when we get done, because, you know, the all authority teachings won't take 4 years, we'll probably be done 4 or 5 months, because it's only being done on Monday and Fridays. And Fridays we may do something else, but I'm still going to do it twice a week. Okay, so we'll probably finish in 4 or 5, maybe 6 months top. So 2 times a week on the all authority subject. When you're done, if you don't like it, just don't believe it. But guess what? If you do believe it, I promise you this. It'll have an effect on your life. It'll radically change you like nothing ever has. You'll get up in the morning, the birds never sing so sweetly, the sky was never so blue. You'll look at everything differently, and you'll have peace. you'll have joy. You'll have what the Bible calls blessedness. So, the issue, I cannot emphasize enough. In this study called All Authority, the issue is faith. Now, I challenge you. Haven't you believed in other things in life? Haven't you? Well, why not believe the Bible? You know what? I can answer that for you. I don't really blame 95% of you. Not that that doesn't hold you accountable, but because of all the hypocrisy and goofiness and craziness and nuttiness of so-called Christianity out there and all the divisions and this denomination says this and this denomination says this, it's amazing to me that if you're even listening to me, if you are. It is. It amazes me. I apologize. I can't. Well, you know what? I really don't. I don't apologize for them because I didn't do nothing. I'm sorry that things are screwed up. But let me show you why they are screwed up. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. All right. Get Ephesians 2. And let me show you another passage besides Ephesians 2. Get Ephesians 2. All right. Ephesians chapter 2. It's a little book towards the back. And, you know, let me just show you this one. This is enough. Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. Do you know that the Ephesians used to be unbelievers, but yet they were now given the epistle that has the greatest amount of truth in all of the Bible, delivered unto them as the Apostle Paul led some of them to being believers at Ephesus. And he says regarding them that in time past they walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Do you know there is a prince that's a ruler of the power of the air? The Bible calls it in Corinthians the god of this world. Do you know what? I mean, you don't have to believe it, but let me at least tell you. The person running the world right now is not God Almighty. So for all those goofy preachers out there who are telling you, how many times have you seen this? A family of eight, you know, maybe he was a preacher. This happened one time in Chicago years back there in a van, and he was a preacher, a minister, and he has his wife and six children, and some part from a truck flew off, and it hit the van and exploded in flames, and they all burned. And I heard someone say, well, it must have been God's will. Let me tell you what, you blame that on God Almighty, you're a fool. That had nothing to do with God Almighty. It is not God's will that a wheel come off a truck and kill a family of eight. See, but preachers say that, and it confuses you, the listener, who's seeking for truth. You know why the folks on BBS Radio are listening, why it's so popular? Because there's folks out there seeking truth. They want to know, and they have the guts and the, can I say it on internet radio? The cojones, right, to do so. It takes guts, it really does, to go into some of these things of astrology and the occult. At least they're trying. They're not mainstream. They're searching. Now, what are they searching for? I'm just simply trying to show you that don't blame God Almighty for the condition of the world. He sent his son here almost 2,000 years ago as the Prince of Peace. And what did we do to him? We killed him. So his son is now in exile in heaven waiting. He's coming back, though. He is very much alive. And he is the living manifestation of all authority when he returns. So when he does come back, you want to be on the winning side. Okay? So don't blame God Almighty for all of the horrible cancer and the sin in the world. And why do babies get sick and die? Why is this unjust thing happening? Why? Because Satan is the devil, and he is the god of this world, and he runs this world. He is the prince of the power of the air. Okay? So don't blame God. When the Lord, watch this, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, the desert shall blossom as a rose. Now, you want to be on the winning team, though, because if you're not, you're going to be cast in a hell of fire. So that's what we're going to show you, how to get on the winning team. Be a believer in him. When he comes back on that white horse, boy, you will be thankful that you believe the Bible then. You see? All right. So when we look at all authority, we have a book here called All Authority. Now, I want you to all listen up for the last few minutes we have here. You know, do you know why the Bible doesn't make sense to you? And do you know why you reject it as all authority, if you do? Because you don't understand it, and you think, well, it's just a book that condemns me, and it doesn't like what I do, and it doesn't like my sin. And yeah, it doesn't, okay? But God gives you a wonderful answer. Do you know why folks can't understand the Bible, though? Jesus Christ said it real simply. He asked a question in John chapter 8 and verse 43, and he says, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. And watch what and you know who he's talking to? He's talking to religious leaders of his day. He was talking to the bigwigs, the top guys when it came to Bible theology. That's who he's talking to. And he says, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. You see that? And then he ends by in verse 47, a few verses down, he says, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Now, this is where I want to talk to you. If none of this makes sense and you're thinking, well, you know what? I would like to maybe try it and listen and go through this school. You're going to need to get one thing settled. And the sooner you get it settled and understanding the destiny of your soul, the better off you'll be. Okay? Salvation. Salvation from what? The lake of fire. So I cannot encourage you enough. As that beautiful music plays, you hear it? Martin Luther wrote a hymn. He was raised in a religious system. He thought he had to do all these deeds to get to heaven, and he did so much, and he worked and worked and worked. And then he simply read the Bible, and the Bible taught him that he didn't have to do all these wonderful efforts, and that God himself had provided a free gift at the cross of Calvary in the name of Jesus Christ, who died for all of his sins. So Martin Luther writes this hymn as he goes in before the religious leaders of his day who wanted to put him to death because he simply believed in the great gift of God. Okay? So I encourage you, go to our website and listen. TheScripturesAloneBibleSchool.net. Listen to the salvation message here. I'm not the one saying, I'm not condemning you, but I'm saying you need help because we've broken his laws and he's given us an answer. So thank you so much for putting up with my raspy voice. And Lord willing, it'll be better tomorrow. But you do that. You seek you out of the book of the Lord. Get yourself a King James Bible and read. Listen to this hymn as it finishes out. Farewell.